Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, but also the four talented, individual, regular, and superlative players. I was thinking they're all so good they played it so many times before. So let me just say that we're delighted to welcome back Paul Merton, Tony Hawks, Peter Jones, and Clement Freud. And will you please welcome all four of them? And I'm going to ask them to speak as usual on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And beside me sits Jane Gibson, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. This particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Grand Opera House in York. And we're going to begin this week with Clement Freud. And the subject, isn't this an amazing coincidence? The subject is York. Clement, will you tell us something about York in just a minute, starting now?
The noble Duke of York, he had 10,000 men. And he marched them all to the top of the hill. And I've always wondered how it went on after that. Ask the ordinary 100 usual people what they connect with York, and the answer is likely to be ham. Jambon de York, the matured, dried, cured, salted hind leg of a pig.
Paul Merton, you have challenged.
Hesitation?
Yes, I think that was hesitation. And whoever gets a correct challenge gains a point for that, and this occasion was Paul Merton. He takes over the subject. There are 33 seconds available. Paul, it's still York with you, starting now.
I would like to address my comments to the rest of the world who are listening to this particular programme. The good inhabitants of York are known as Yorkers. You will know this as a cricketing term when the ball goes a funny way and then comes back again. And that is, it really was originated here.
Tony Hawks the challenge.
He's getting too technical for me.
The ball goes a funny way and then it comes back again.
So what is your challenge, Tony?
Deviation from being... I haven't got one.
Well, that's honest, because a Yorker in cricket actually is a ball that lands in the crease. It's not one.
Well, there we are. Well, I'll have that then.
Right, too late now. It doesn't come back again. It was too late. Tony, you attempted a challenge which failed. So, for incorrect challenge, Paul keeps the subject, and a point for incorrect challenge. 17 seconds on your Paul, starting now.
As Nicholas said earlier, it is a beautiful city to walk around. There is a wonderful atmosphere to feel cobbled stones beneath your feet, sometimes under your head if you've had a big night.
Tony, challenge.
Repetition of under.
Yes.
Beneath and under. Two different words, I think.
Two different words, you're quite right, yes.
Oh, right.
I mean, not only are they spelt differently, but they are pronounced differently as well. In my book, that makes them different. I'm a bit old-fashioned about these things, I know.
Yes, an incorrect challenge, another point to Paul Merton, and he still has a subject, and 6 seconds available, York starting now.
The Yorkie chocolate bar is an extraordinary invention. If you look at it, you...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Not an invention.
Well, what is it?
You mean it was a gift from God?
Yeah. Paul, I think you made your point. I give you the benefit of the doubt. Another point to you for an incorrect challenge. 1 second on York, starting now.
York!
Whoever is speaking when the whistle blows gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton. And at the end of that round, he's the only one to have scored any points at all. Tony Hawks. The subject now is inferiority complex. I don't know why they've given this one to you, because the last time we were in York, you established for us that you were an international toy boy. talk on the subject. 60 seconds are available, starting now.
I am not fit to speak on this subject. The people before me are far more talented than I. Already Paul Merton in the previous round spotted that I had made a mistake, suggesting that he repeated the word under when he cleverly used beneath. What a fool I am. I am suffering with an inferiority complex when normally I have a superiority complex based on the fact that I'm fantastic. But on this occasion, I'm feeling down in the dumps. Not my normal self. I may go out after this show, and instead of sharing my beautiful body with the women of York, I'll probably go back to my hotel room, maybe put the kettle on, and have some of those little chocolate biscuits that they give you so delightfully, and just put my head down and fall asleep and think, oh, I wish I could play that game better. I could have spoken for a minute without being interrupted, or repeating myself, or deviating, but...
Oh. And then Freud do chant.
Repetition of all.
Exactly my point. I'm not good enough.
It wasn't a popular challenge, Clement, but it was a correct challenge, so I have to be fair within the rules of just a minute and say yes. So, Clement, a correct challenge, and you have said he went for 53 seconds.
Oh.
That should kill any inferiority complex you've got, Tony. Anyway, Clem, a correct challenge. 7 seconds still available on inferiority complex, starting now.
A man went to a psychoanalyst who examined him most carefully and said, no, you really are inferior.
Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle. Wayne gained that extra point for doing so, so he has got some points, and he's just behind our leader, Paul Merton. Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is simply pudding. Tell us something about pudding in just a minute, starting now.
Well, the British have contributed a great deal to the culinary art of puddings, and that doesn't include Yorkshire puddings, because they're not a sweet or dessert kind of that kind. But the other kind, bread and butter pudding.
Paul Button Challenge.
There were quite a few kinds.
Yes, there were quite a few kinds.
Yes, there were, yes.
The kinds, yes, there were, yes.
I heard myself say.
Yes.
And I thought, what a pity. Well, I don't like repeating myself, even in this ludicrous game.
But the public enjoy it, Peter.
They do?
Yes.
Yes.
That's why they ask you back, because they enjoy you as well.
Well, good luck to them.
Paul, you had a correct challenge. Pudding is the subject. 42 seconds available, starting now.
Well, if you want to make a sticky toffee pudding, it's very simple. First of all, you have to get a load of sticky...
Tony, you challenge first.
Yes, I think there's a repetition of sticky.
Yes, he got stuck with his sticky, didn't he? That's right. Tony, a point to you and the subject. 37 seconds. Pudding, starting now.
When I was at school, I was made to eat bread and butter pudding by Mrs. Andrews, my dinner lady, and this was so upsetting to me because I didn't like currants, and they were specifically in this particular pudding. And she said to me, eat it, Hawks, or I will take you to see the headmaster. Now, this was no kind of a threat, really, because he was only a small man, and I wasn't frightened of him, being a tough guy with a superiority complex. However, I once went, and he said to me, Hawks, you... I've said...
Clement Freud challenge.
Two hawks.
Yes, two hawks, two seds, but there we are. 5 seconds, Clement, you've got another point, you have pudding, and you start now.
If you soak the sultanas in apricot brandy, you do get a quite specifically good...
So Clement Freud, speaking as a whistle, Wayne gained that extra point, has moved forward. He's still in second place behind our leader, Paul Merton, and Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is flannel. Tell us something about flannel in this game, starting now.
Flannel is a sort of portmanteau word, a noun, a verb. In its verbal form, it can be animal, vegetable, or mineral. You flannel people in order to impress them, to persuade them that the inferiority complex which you actually have does not exist. Flanneling is a tremendously popular thing in politics, because you say to your constituents what absolutely fine people you are. Nobody understands the extraordinary depth of your knowledge, the understanding, and your political finesse. And vote for me, and I promise that we will receive the absolutely perfect vote on every occasion. I've said vote twice.
I know. They were so carried away, they're all about to vote for you, actually, James. You were nearly back in Parliament. Tony, you challenge first. 12 seconds on flannel, starting now.
Nicholas Parsons is wearing a magnificent blue jacket with a tie, the finest I've ever seen. Now, this is an example of flannel. Clearly, they're right. I would not flannel somebody just for the sake of it, certainly not to win votes.
Tony Hawks speaking as the whistle. Wayne gained that extra point. He's moved forward. He's now in third place. And Tony, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the bait. Tell us something about the bait, starting now.
The bait you use can vary depending on whether you're trying to catch a fish or, say, a spy. For one, you need a worm, and the other one maybe a leggy call girl or something like that. I've caught many a halibut using
Peter Collins this challenge.
I didn't quite hear what you said last. A leggy what?
A leggy call girl.
Oh, leggy call girl. Yeah. Didn't hear that.
And, Peter. Right. A leggy call girl.
Yes.
Are you happy for him to continue now?
Yes, I'd like to hear more about her.
Right. Oh, I see now. You wanted to be clearly in the picture of what he was talking about. So,
right.
But, of course, Tony gets a point because he was interrupted. There are 45 seconds available. The bait starting now.
My favourite kind of bait is white bait. Fantastic little fish it is. They put little breadcrumbs on them. I'm sure Clement will be able to tell more about it when he gets the subject from me when I stutter or make a mistake in a second. But, however, for the moment, I will tell you about this teeny, teeny little thing.
It's a tough game. It's so difficult.
It's one word, teeny, teeny, isn't it?
Hyphenated.
Right, Paul, a correct challenge. 30 seconds. Tell us something about the bait. Starting now.
Of course, if you are an international toy boy, you find leggy call girls do not need any bait. They flock to you as you promenade through the finest beaches of Europe, whether you find yourself in Nice or Venice, which doesn't have any particular sandy area that you could call that thing that I referred to earlier, but it doesn't matter because it's the spirit of the occasion. You wander along, your head held high as the girls look at you and...
Tony Hawk's challenge.
I think there's a bit of deviation here. I don't think he's really talking about... He's just talking about me, which is fine. but I don't think he's really talking about the bait anymore.
No, I think he's got away from the bait. I do think so, yes. He's got on to... He's got so carried away with this image you've created, this international toy boy, that he was on with that. And so, you've cleverly got in with 1 second to go, Tony. On the bait, starting now.
Chocolate is some...
Tony Hawks was then speaking as a whistle. Wayne gained that extra point in doing so. And, Paul, it is your turn to begin. Subject now, Paul, is double bill. Tell us something about that subject in just a minute, starting now.
Genetic engineering is a very strange world, and particularly when applied to the duck. There are unfortunate birds who are now wandering the face of this earth with a double bill. It's not clever for scientists to muck around playing God. If nature intended these poor, unfortunate creatures to have double bills, then he surely would have made that choice very early in the evolutionary scale. It also refers to a cracked arm.
Clement, you've challenged first.
Repetition.
Hesitant.
I thought we had to take the first challenge.
But he corrected himself before I spoke, so I'm allowed to say what he said last.
Oh, all right. That's a new rule, is it?
No, it isn't. I just have to justify everything because it's so dead keen, which is good. I'm not discouraging it. 31 seconds. Double bills with you, Clement, starting now.
If you stay in a hotel and have breakfast, lunch, tea and dinner, and some drink, coffee, tea, and you ask for your account, and they give it to you, and it is twice as much as you thought. The answer is they have double billed you, the bastards.
That's nice talk, isn't it? That's nice.
Lovely talk.
They have that go all over the world.
That's what I thought. This show really does go to every country in the world. We get letters.
I think bastards is a term of endearment. You get Chinese people going to hotels. I'd like the bill, please, bastard.
Tony Hawks, you challenge.
Yeah, well, I'm staying in the same hotel as him, so I think it's important we get the subject off him before we all have our stuff thrown out.
He got his big laugh, he made his point, and he hesitated, and it's double bill with you, Tony, and 11 seconds are available starting now.
What are you drinking, asked William, and I said, I'll have a double bill. This was one of the most exciting stories.
Paul Merton challenged.
Well, you haven't answered his question. He's asked you what you're drinking, you've given him the measurement.
Actually, sometimes people do say, I'll have a double.
Do they?
Yes.
And you've known this to happen?
I've known this to happen. Incorrect challenge. 4 seconds available. Tony, with you, starting now.
I was almost on a double bill with Paul Merton many years back during the Edinburgh Festival. However...
Tony Hawks, with points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's now only three behind Paul Merton, a leader, two ahead of Clement Freud. Peter Jones is training just a little, and Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject, that's a nice one, snakes and ladders. Tell us something about that delightful game in just a minute, starting now.
I don't know why you think that's a nice one. It sounds terribly boring to me.
And they give it to you, and it is twice as much as you thought.
Well, my son happens to be called Bill, and he works in radio. He was able to conceal his relationship to me, and so he got in quite easily. Anyway, the snakes and ladders was a game that one used to be forced to play when one was a child, like Ludo. And one or two other really footling games that I felt was an insult to my intellectual capacity at that time when I was 7 or 8. And I didn't ever like it and don't like it now.
Clement Freud, chance.
Repetition of like it.
You didn't like it?
No, I didn't.
I must say... But we love what you did.
Yes.
That's important. And you actually made a first in just a minute, because for 30 seconds you talked on the previous subject. And nobody bothered. And then you went over to the subject of this particular round.
Quite.
And then you repeated something. It's a pity you didn't keep going, because only 6 seconds are left.
Pity.
But anyway, Clement got in with the correct challenge. I've got to be fair within the rules in just a minute. Clement, you have 6 seconds. Snakes and ladders starting now.
I actually preferred Lotto and Hulmer, but snakes and ladders on a wet afternoon.
Clement Freud got points in that round. He's now equal with Tony Hawks in second place, equal behind Paul Merton. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is chop suey. Tell us something about chop suey in just a minute, starting now.
Chop suey will be found as number 19 at the Ming Cottage, 23 at the Lotus Tree, and 34 at Fokyo To in Battersea Park Road in London. And I cannot recommend this dish sufficiently. You get suey, and you put it on a board, and you chop. You can use a knife, or if you're Chinese, a cleaver, which is immensely sensible. And then you go chop, 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 suey, suey, suey.
Oh, Paul.
No, he's bluffed me here because he said chop and chop. I buzzed for repetition, but of course it's on the subject, chop suey, so it's an incorrect challenge.
Clement, 26 seconds are still available for chop suey starting now.
Is not at all a classic dish from the Orient, but the sort of thing that those coming from eastern regions...
Tony challenge.
I think there was a hesitation.
Yes, a big hesitation, yes. I think he was thinking of all our Chinese business and what they might write.
I don't think Nicholas is in agreement there. No, sorry, he's not Nicholas either, is he?
My name is Nicholas, by the way. Yes,
right. Lovely to meet you.
Right. 16 seconds for you, Tony. Chop suey, starting now.
The big debate up and down the country is which is better, chop suey or chow mein. People in every pub or club are discussing this at heated volume, if you can have that.
Peter Jones, the challenge.
It's just ridiculous. Of course they aren't discussing that.
I would be inclined to agree with you, Peter.
You must go to different pubs to me, that's all I can say.
No, Peter, deviation. I agree.
There's a very good reason for that.
You cleverly got in with 3 seconds to go on. Chop suey, starting now.
Chop suey isn't Chinese, it's an American dish.
Peter Jones was speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. He's still, alas, in fourth place. Tony Hawks, your turn to begin. Oh, dear, this is interesting. Let's hear from this international toy boy. You didn't know this was coming up, did you, Tony? My best chat-up lines. Tell us something about it. 60 seconds are available, starting now.
Excuse me, young lady, but do you know the way to Oldham? Is not an example of a good line. I am an international toy boy, as Nicholas has pointed out, and no doubt this is the reason why I have been given this subject. I honestly can tell you a line that I have used in the past, and it is, excuse...
Clement, you challenged.
I'd like to hear the story, but he did say...
He did repeat line, yes. Clement, 39 seconds. You tell us something about my best chat-up line, starting now.
Would you like to eat a Chinese hamburger? Sometimes goes quite well, better than an American chop suey. But I was a member as a child of the Ovaltinis, and instead of having a chat-up line, you had gestures which gave you the sort of message to other people they wanted to hear. If you put your left forefinger on the side of your nose, it meant, will you come home with me after school? Whereas the right digit in a similar position intended to convey someone is trying to find out our secrets. So why this...
So, I don't think those chat-up lines have got me very far. What was your best one? Come on, what was it, Tony?
I don't think I'm going to share this with you. You're going to use it, Nicholas, aren't you?
You don't share it with me, you share it with the audience. They want to hear that. They're dying to hear. They need a few new chat-up lines in York. They really do.
This is the truth, but I did use this line for a long time, and it was, what's the capital of Poland? And it used to work really well, actually, because if people knew it, they'd go Warsaw, and then you'd be chatting away. And if they didn't know it, they'd think, he's a clever bloke, I think I want to talk to him, he knows what the capital of Poland is.
They're giving a whole new meaning to life up here, right. So, who was speaking as Clement Foy was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and with other points in that round, he's leapt forward, and he's now equal in the lead with Paul Merton, followed by Tony Hawks, and then Peter Jones in that order. And this round coming up is going to be the last round, so if those interested in the score, it's anybody's contest still, except Peter Jones has got a little...
that's good for morale, isn't it?
You've got to give him something to fight for.
His little chance of getting the points, but his every chance of winning the show, because I know you love him dearly. There we are. The subject is window shopping, and Paul, it's your turn to begin, so 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
As I go window shopping, I often think about my best chat-up line, which is, I'm a personal friend of Nicholas Parsons. Window shopping as a practice doesn't strike me as being particularly interesting. I've never been one for gazing through windows, just idly passing away the time. If I do go shopping, it's generally with an intention of going to buy something. So I will walk into a shop knowing what I want, seeing it, and purchasing.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of shop.
Yes.
Yes.
So you're coming with a flourish at the end, Peters. I knew you would. There we are.
Well, and,
the point? You have 34 seconds. You tell us something about window shopping starting now.
Well, it's a rather tedious business if you don't have any money and you can't afford to buy anything. So what is the point of looking at all this merchandise that is laid out before you, sometimes quite attractively? But I wouldn't want to...
Clement Roy Charles.
I think there was hesitation.
There was a hesitation, but I'm not going to allow it. Because I think this audience here... Last time we were here, Peter, you finished the last round. I think they'd like to hear Peter finish the show again, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
There you are, you see, Peter. You may not get the points, but you have the love of this audience here. And you have 18 seconds to tell us more about window shopping starting now.
One of the most attractive windows in our area.
Paul Merton-Chalmers.
I would like Peter to finish as well.
Right. Another point to you, Peter.
Yes.
And you have 15 seconds. Window shopping starting now.
In this particular district.
And, then, yes?
Repetition of glove puppet.
You're not listening very well.
I'm sorry. Another point to Peter, then. Sorry.
Another point. 14 seconds window shopping with you, Peter, starting now.
An awfully nice window just on the corner. And it is
didn't he say that before?
Of course he didn't say it before, so he gets another point. That's an incorrect challenge. 10 seconds on window shopping, Peter, starting now.
And it's a funeral director.
Oh, Paul?
Can I just say this is descended into a farce? Sorry, that's an incorrect challenge. I do apologise.
I know, but we like to get a bit farcical on occasions. It's great fun. Peter, you and I worked in many farces like time together. Let us
what
finish
was
the...
that again?
7 seconds on window shopping with you, Peter, starting now.
An undertaker's, actually. A very large bunch of flowers and a coffin in the front. And...
Well, who can say that the impossible never happens? At the beginning of that round, we had two equal leaders, very talented players of the game, and then we had another one who was just 1 point behind them, and we had one of our players who was training quite considerably. But with incredible flourish. With a minuscule little bit of help from the other players of the game.
I wouldn't like to think it was patronage at all.
With sheer talent and this encouragement from this audience, Peter Jones has leapt forward from 5 points to 15. Never happened before. It'll probably be a long time before it happens again. But Peter, you're the winner this week.
Really?
So, it only remains for me to say my thanks to the four talented and outstanding players of this game. Peter Jones, Clement Freud, Paul Merton and Tony Hawks. Also thank Jane Gibson, who's blown her whistle so delicately and charmingly, helped me with a score. And Ian Messiter, who created the game, which we all enjoy playing so much. And also our producer and director, Chris Neal. We also thank our audience here at the Grand Opera House in York, who've cheered us on our way from our audience here, from the panel, from me, Nicholas Parsons. Tune in again the next time we play. Just a minute. Till then, goodbye.
Next Monday's edition is the last in the current series. You can hear tonight's edition again, no bonus points for spotting that incidence of repetition, on Sunday at midday.